Hello and welcome to Webhack Wednesdays. I am Martin Beebe and this is...
Webhack Wednesday.
No, I was like, who are you?
I am Martin Kern.
Okay, he's Martin Kern, I'm Martin Beebe. This is Webhack Wednesdays. It's a weekly show. We show every Wednesday and we discuss things which are related to the web.
Yep.
And this week is no exception.
No, it's certainly not.
What are we talking about this week?
We're going to talk about hybrid web applications.
Hybrid web applications.
Yeah. So this idea of taking a web application or website...
Yep.
And doing some things to it and making it available in app stores, like the Windows App Store, the iOS App Store, Android, etc.
Right, okay.
And also on browser marketplaces as well, like Chrome and Firefox and such.
So using web technologies to build applications, basically.
Yeah, we're using specifically, today we're going to look at hosted web technologies. So web technology is hosted on a web server somewhere, in Azure or AWS, wherever you want to host your web servers,
mm-hmm.
And having that be part of what feels like a native application.
Okay, so are we going to... As the name of the show dictates, going to hack some stuff together.
We are certainly going to do that. Yeah. Okay, so I have a website here, which is called Sentimental Web. So what this is a very simple website. It's written in ASP.NET 5, but that really doesn't matter. It's just a standard website, really. And what this does, it lets you enter some text. So I'm just going to copy this because it saves me having to type. You click analyze, it goes off to our Azure Machine Learning APIs,
okay.
And does some sentiment analysis on that text and gives me a sentiment score and also pulls out the key phrases.
Right.
So it's a bit of a silly demo, but you know, it's good enough for our purposes here.
So you say Azure, that's a cloud platform,
yep.
From Microsoft. The machine learning is a feature of that Azure cloud platform. And this is just, as I remember, a sort of JavaScript API.
Yeah, it's a REST API, so you can call it in JavaScript or C# or whatever language you're writing your code in. So this, in this particular case, it's an ASP.NET app, so I'm calling it in C#, but it doesn't matter what.
Oh, okay.
It's just a REST API.
Right, okay.
So this is a website that we're going to use. I'm going to take this website, I'm going to produce a plethora of applications.
A plethora?
Indeed.
Okay.
Indeed I am, yeah.
Nice word.
It is. I like to use that word whenever I can. So I'm going to use a tool called Manifold.js. So what this is a node package that's been developed at Microsoft.
Yep.
It's open source. You can find the code on GitHub. And what this does is it will take a website and wrap it up using the various native app platforms.
Okay.
And the way it does this is it uses this thing called a web manifest file.
That is really small font.
It is really small font. So I'm going to zoom in a little bit so that...
Good work.
The viewers can see what we're looking at here. So this is a W3C standard.
Right.
It's a working draft, so it's not fully ratified yet, but it's a standard for a JSON file that describes the website or web application to an app platform.
Right, okay.
So chiefly what it describes is a bunch of images, because when you do these kind of hybrid apps, one of the main things you do is you use icons and images for the start screens and the taskbars and those kinds of things.
Yep.
It also describes things like the name of the application, the theme color, the orientation that it should be running, et cetera, loads of stuff there.
So and this is so like operating systems can generate tiles and icons.
Exactly, yeah.
And make it feel like it's part of the operating
make
system.
Make it feel like it's part of the OS, exactly right, yeah. And what Manifold does is it looks at this file and it constructs those operating system projects for you.
Okay.
Across Windows, Android, iOS, the Chrome Store, the Firefox Store, Windows 8, a whole load of different platforms. And that's what we're going to do now. So the way Manifold works is you can do it on the website itself. So you can go to Generate Now. Okay. We can just take our URL, plonk that in there, go to Get Started.
Yep.
Now, this site has already got a manifest file associated with it, which you can see that's been picked up.
Okay.
And these are all of my icons, so they're just variations on that S logo that we've got there. If there isn't a manifest file already on the website, this will help you create one as well.
Okay.
But in this case, we don't need to create one. And then we just do generate package, and it will download the package. Now, it takes a little while to do that, so I've already got one set up, but that's what you can do. You can also run this in NPM as well.
Okay.
So if you have NPM installed, you can just do manifold.js. You can type in the URL of the website, sentimentalweb.azure.
So you've installed Manifold on this machine,
yep.
Using NPM.
NPM, yes.
So that would be NPM install, NPM space install space Manifold.js.
Yeah.
And then once Manifold's installed, it will be with it will be dash global as well, I imagine.
Yeah, so that's the little sample.
NPM install -g space manifolds, and dash G means it will be installed globally as a command, so that when you're back in your command prompt, as you were before, you can just type manifold.js, and then you're passing over a number of parameters. So you've got manifold.js, and then just the website address, right?
Yeah, so the website address, I'm going to pass a few other things in here as well. I'm going to put the slash D and where I want to create the file. So I'm going to create a folder on this machine called manifold. I'm going to do slash L info, that's the log level, and slash B, which I don't know what that is,
right,
but my demo script says that I need to type it in, so that's what I'm going to do.
What could it mean?
What could it mean?
Info.
Bold?
Bold, yeah.
I don't know. So we're just going to click that again. This will go off. It'll do a load of stuff. It takes a little while to run, so I'm just going to leave that running in the background and look at one that I've already got downloaded. So what it gives you is a zip file, in this case called Sentimental.
Yep.
And inside this, we've got projects, and we've got a load of stuff. We've got Windows, Web, Firefox, Cordova. So
Firefox is dead.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, it's fine. I mean, I'm sure there's people which have still got, I'm sure there's the five people that had those phones have still got them. Maybe they want to develop that.
I think it's a Firefox browser. I don't think.
Well, Firefox OS had a, they had a, they did have an app platform for the mobile thing. So I imagine maybe they use it, extend it now so you can install apps from the desktop as well. But Firefox OS used to be a thing.
Right.
But that got canned.
So let's just gloss over that then and pretend that.
It's an interesting fact. I mean, but the manifold's been around for 6-7 months. Well,
yes, that's
maybe
true.
Maybe even longer than that.
No, it's about a year, actually. So one interesting thing here is, so we'll come to Windows 10 in a bit, because Windows 10's got some special stuff.
Yep.
But if for other platforms, it uses Cordova. So for Android, iOS, and Windows 8, it uses Cordova to polyfill, effectively, some of the capabilities. And what that means is you can have your JavaScript files on your website, which can access APIs in Android, iOS, and Windows 8 via Cordova.
Right, I got it.
So if you enter Android, you'll recognize that hopefully as being an Android project.
Well, you've got like a...
Something called Gradle. That's an important thing with Android, I think. That's as far as my Android knowledge goes.
That's pretty
I just know
weak.
That Gradle is a word that I only understand as being part of an Android project. That may not be true.
I thought that was like a package manager.
It might be, I don't know. We've got iOS as well, which, again, if you're into iOS, this hopefully will look quite familiar to you. We've got Windows as well, so this is Windows 8. This is a Windows 8 application. So that's all good. So that basically means I've got a very simple app across those other platforms. I've also got one called Windows 10 here. I'm just going to open this up and have a look at what we've actually been created here. So this is a Visual Studio project. So I'm opening this up in Visual Studio 2015. Just run the app in the default form and see what happens here. So with Windows 10 and Windows 8, in fact, you can create apps in C# and XAML, or you can choose HTML and JavaScript as your platform. So this is a JavaScript-based Windows application. And all we've got here is a package manifest file.
So that you would have one of those with a standard,
kind of Windows application, you'd have one of those. And with a native app, it would point to a local file in the app package, but this one, it's actually pointing to my URL.
The URL, yeah.
And then I've got a bunch of images which have been put there as well by the manifold package manager. So I'm just going to run this and see what we've got.
So I suspect we're going to be... Oh, here we go.
So we've got a nice splash screen there, which is what you'd expect to see with a native app. You might see there in the bottom we've got the S logo is being used on the taskbar there. If I search... going to hopefully come up there in my search as a Windows app. So it looks and feels like a Windows app. And because my website was responsive, it will collapse down the way you'd expect it to. So it behaves the same way you would expect any other Windows app to behave. Of course.
Now, in this instance, you've got your app, your website looks a bit website-like.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's up to you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a design thing. There's plenty of frameworks out there that allow you to build HTML and CSS to feel like an app. So there's Google with their Material Design. There's things like Zurb have a foundation for apps. There's Bootstrap have an apps platform as well. So there's plenty of web frameworks that allow you to build app-like designs. WinJS as well, of course, which is the Windows design.
Okay.
So it feels like an app, but that's kind of okay. But I'm not happy with that. I want to take it a step further for Windows.
Yep.
So what Windows has got is some extra capabilities whereby you can have JavaScript on the website itself.
Yep.
And you can have that execute local Windows APIs,
right?
Which is kind of like It blows my mind slightly that you can do that, but you can do that. So this is the code for the website itself.
So we just switch editors.
Yeah, just magically. So this is Visual Studio Code. The only reason it's in VS Code is because I'd get confused having two versions of Visual Studio. So
right, okay, no worries.
But yeah, this is just a standard ASP.NET project, and we've got at the bottom of the index.html, we've got a reference to Windows.js, and then we've got some inline JavaScript. So what Windows.js will do, if I just open that up, is a load of JavaScript code in here. I'm not going to talk through the code itself, but this is Windows JavaScript code. This is the same JavaScript you'd write if you're writing a fully native Windows application in JavaScript. We've got three functions. One sets a notification, one sends a tile update, and one sends a pop-up message as well.
Right, okay.
And all our web page does is invoke those. It does a feature detect for Windows first, and then it invokes those three functions to do some stuff. So the code, that JavaScript is already on my website. It's already hosted in the cloud. In order to have my app use that, I just need to enable a few things in here. So under content URIs, it's got the URL, both from the HTTP and HTTPS, as included as being part of the app. This is important because this is how the app knows what's in the app and what's out of the app. So if I click a link to Twitter or something, I want that to open in Edge or my default browser. If I'm saying on this URL, I want this to stay within the app.
Right, okay.
And we've also got this thing called WinRT access. If I set that to all, it means that that URL has access to the whole of WinRT.
Okay.
So I can now do, once I've saved that, I can do anything that I would normally be able to do on a native Windows application using the Windows runtime.
Okay, so and it's all, but it will be JavaScript code, which is executing on a website, but it's doing a feature detection to determine if it's on Windows or not.
Yep.
So if you're browsing in a regular browser, that feature detection is going to fail, so you'll skip the JavaScript.
Yep, nothing happens. Yeah.
But if you're inside of Windows, sort of this kind of system or
this
whatever,
weird
like,
world.
Yeah, of where are we? You're going to be able to execute any WinRT APIs, and they're called WinRT APIs.
Yep.
The same APIs as building regular applications.
Exactly.
So you have exactly the same power?
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you can do anything.
Yeah, Cortana, you can do anything that you can write as a native JavaScript Windows app, you can write as a hosted JavaScript Windows app.
Right, okay.
It's pretty powerful stuff. So now that I've enabled that access, if I run the exact same, I haven't made any code changes at this point.
Yeah.
I've just enabled that access and run the same code, we should see that when I do my search now, some extra stuff happens.
If your app was spanning multiple URLs, would you just add multiple URLs
and
give them permission?
Exactly. And you can use wildcards and all that kind of stuff as well. So I'm just going to take that text again. We'll do analyze. Wait for it to go off and get its result. There we go. So we can see straight away the first thing. So this isn't the prettiest or most useful code, I'll admit. But you can see, hopefully, that's a native Windows message pop up there that's been invoked by the hosted JavaScript. So all it's doing is said the score is 88%.
So of the entire we just discussed, you've got 100% access to the WinRT API.
Yeah, and that's why I chose,
and you chose to do a pop-up.
Yeah.
Right. Sweet.
Yeah. But no, but not just a pop-up.
All right. Well,
not just a pop-up. I've done some other things as well.
Oh, okay.
I have also in the notification center, which I can't find because this is your laptop.
I'll hide that.
Why would you do a thing like that for?
Isn't it there? Sorry, let's have a look. Notifications. That's usually there. Yeah, that's the keyboard.
Should we try that?
That's how you get it. Yeah, you swipe from the side.
So there we go. Look at that. We've got a notification in the action center there to say the sentiment score was indeed 88%.
It's a really useful notification.
Another very useful piece of functionality. But we're not stopping there.
Okay.
Because if you recall, we had a tile update as well.
Yeah.
So one of the things that's kind of unique about Windows is we have these live tiles. So if I take the app and do pin to start, this will pin the app to your start menu, and there it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if I just wait a second, we should see that we get a live tile in there as well. Again, this has all been done through the hosted JavaScript. I might need to just do that one more time to
Martin probably wouldn't register if you didn't.
JavaScript. So I've put Martin loves JavaScript. I'm not going to say which Martin. One of us definitely loves JavaScript. So there we go. So that's all going to happen again. That's 89% this time. And hopefully in a second, there we go. The sentiment score was 89%.
Oh, right, okay.
So I've done three very simple, crude things there from hosted JavaScript that's been able to, through the hosted for the hybrid web application, it's been able to reach into Windows and execute local Windows APIs.
Okay.
Which I think is pretty cool.
It is really impressive that you can do all that stuff. And I guess the security sandbox is the fact that only things from the domains that you've specifically verified can actually execute that JavaScript.
Yeah, so if this website were to link up to some other site like Twitter or Facebook or whatever, it's not like JavaScript on those sites can do this stuff.
Yeah.
It's all controlled through.
Or if you're if you have iframes on your site where you're maybe displaying ads, those ads don't have then access to the Windows API because they're on different domains usually.
Yeah, it's all through this content URIs in terms of those are the only ones that have access to this stuff.
Well, it did say WinRT access you had all. What were the other couple of options there?
Allow for web only. I don't know what that means.
Oh, right, okay, well. So maybe when we will that leave that to our listeners, or viewers.
Yeah, to find
if you can find that out, then let us know on Twitter.
But we're not done.
All right,
there's more to go. So this website, we've done a basic Android app, we've done a basic iOS app, a basic Windows 8 app, a rather fancy, if I may say so, Windows 10 app.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want those notifications happening?
But have you heard of Office?
No. What's that?
Office is a thing that Microsoft built a few years ago. For doing like documents and stuff.
Oh, right, well, like
Microsoft Word, ring a bell, Microsoft Excel.
Yeah, I use something very similar called Wordsworth on the Amiga.
Oh, okay, well, it's like that, but it's a little bit more up to date. So in Office, which I'm presuming you've got installed here somewhere, if I load up Word, there we go, you've got Office 2016, you're very up to date, Martin.
Right, of course I am.
We have this concept of an app store with Office as well, so Office has its own app store. And you can go to Insert, and you go to, so you've already got the Wikipedia app installed, which is good, because that's the one I was looking for.
Oh, I'm just going to trust that add-in.
So it has this app store, and apps get installed into Office just like they do with any other platform. And with Wikipedia, if I just get some text in my document here.
Oh, you've got to stop right just what you just did there.
There's Voodoo.
That is Voodoo Magic.
Yeah, okay.
Using
Wordsmith or whatever it was you said you used, you wouldn't know about these things. But you type
Wordsworth.
Wordsworth.
I can't believe you don't know Wordsworth on the Amiga. There's no reason why you would. Up the font on that, because I don't think you'll be able to see that very easily.
I'm just going to, instead of up in the font, I'm going to zoom.
Oh, that's.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit. You can see it now, roughly.
Equals rand, open bracket, close bracket. Press enter, and it will generate random text for you.
That's the best thing. There's a few other ones there. Show them. Show the people the few other things.
That's the only one I know about.
Oh, I'll tell you a few more then. So if you put, it's Laura. You know Lorem Ipsum?
Yeah.
I think it's just equals.
Equals Lorem.
Yeah. No, Ipsum.
We're going off topic slightly here.
I don't.
It's fine.
I don't, oh.
Have I spelt it right?
No, try Lorem again.
Is it Um or M?
Try the one which you didn't try.
I don't know which one was that.
Go for it. You can't leave it now. Yes!
Yay, okay.
And the other thing as well, you know you had to percent, you know the brackets?
Yeah.
If you give it a number, 10, it'll produce 10 paragraphs. If you give it 6,
really
it'll give 6. It's amazing.
The only bad thing about this is
I spell Lorem Ipsum.
And also I need an actual word for my demo. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to get rid of that and go back to my original plan of doing random text, if that's okay.
Okay. Yeah, of course it's okay.
Right. So what I can do here is I can select a word in Office.
Like video.
Video. And look at that. It's gone over to the Wikipedia app and it's done a search on Wikipedia. Now, the cool thing about this is this app, what we're seeing here is basically a web application. So this page here, everything inside this frame is running somewhere on the web. It's on a web server somewhere that Wikipedia control.
Okay.
This is not installed in Office. It's not something I have to sort of kind of download and install. It's basically an iframe.
Right.
But through the Office JavaScript library, I've got the ability to kind of reach into Office, get selected text, and do other things as well, so I can insert stuff back in. So if I highlight something out of the app and click this little button, it inserts that piece of text back into the app, but also has reference to Wikipedia there as well.
Okay.
And that's coming from the app. So there's this kind of two-way chatter between the Office document and the Office app itself, and that all happens with JavaScript. And like I say, these are hosted apps as well. These are basically hybrid apps.
And you can build these and submit them to a store,
absolutely,
and then other people can use them.
Exactly, yeah. So the Office store works just like any other store. There's a load of stuff in there. you can search it, you can add your own stuff to it, and so on and so on. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take that same website, that Sentimental website, and I'm going to create an Office app based on it as well.
Okay, so you've built an application for
everything.
Yeah.
Every platform there is to have an application,
okay.
apart from BlackBerry.
Right.
But we're not going to go there. So.
Well, no, BlackBerry, no, you have.
Have though. I?
Yeah, because Android is Black. No, because BlackBerry ditched their platform, and now they're Android.
But there we go.
So you have
we
built
We are
BlackBerry.
Truly cross-platform in every sense. So I'm going to, I'm in Visual Studio here. I'm going to close this project, the Windows project. I'm going to go to New Project. So this is Visual Studio 2015. You've already got the Office tools installed here by default. If you've got 2013, you need to actually go ahead and install them. I say that. Oh, there we go. Office and SharePoint. I say that.
Oh, fail.
So we'll pause there for a minute.
So there was a problem there.
There was, but it's fixed. Don't worry about it.
All right. Okay. So we've installed now.
We've clicked the little button that was there that says install the Office Developer Tools, which I can't believe you didn't already have installed.
I do have them installed in Office in Visual Studio 2013, but not 15.
Enough, mate,
I know. Sorry.
Enough. Anyway, we've clicked that button.
Right.
Some time has passed, but we're back now, and we've got the things that we need. So, we choose app for Office because that's the thing that we want to create.
Okay.
We'll call this Office App 1. Go ahead and create it. So just like the Windows apps, these are hybrid apps. So there's a couple of different types. Don't worry too much about that. We'll probably do another session where we talk about the different types of Office apps at some point.
Yep.
I'm going to do a task pane app. I'm going to make it appear in all the places that it can appear in Office. So what this sets up for me, so Office apps constructed from a manifest file,
yep.
which again is an XML file that kind of describes the metadata for the app. And it also gives us a web project. Now, we're not going to use this web project. So the idea here is that it gives us a web project so that you can develop the site locally and publish it online. We're just going to not use that. So we're going to go straight into the manifest, and we're going to set the source location to be our website.
Okay.
Now, this website has already got some JavaScript in it that works with Office. So if we go back into the website itself and look at the layout page, we can see that we're referencing in here the Office JavaScript library, so apps for office.microsoft.com,
blah, blah,
blah, office.js.
Yep.
And then we've also got some of our own code where we're basically doing some stuff with Office. So we go to officeapp.js, some JavaScript. Again, don't worry specifically about what this does. This is just Office JavaScript code. Effectively, it gets the selected data and puts that in the text box for our search on our site. So that's already posted out there on the website. So I'm just going to run this app straight away. I think it's going to open in Excel by default. Yeah, but this could be Word or PowerPoint or any of the other Office apps. And once again, we will see the beautifully designed Sentimental app. There we go.
Okay.
And
is this
before,
the same website?
It's exactly the same website, yeah.
All right. And exactly it's pointing to a live URL.
Live URL, yeah.
Right.
So
I like the way you were repeating everything I said.
Well, just to emphasize that what you were saying was true. Martin loves Office. Oh, yes, he does. So we can go off. It works exactly the same way as it does before because it is the same website.
It is the same website.
It's a very positive 90% sentiment.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But the cool thing here is I can type some text in here. And if I just select that, it doesn't work. Let's just... Weird, it does that sometimes. What's it, Martin loves Office. Oh, yes, he does.
Okay. Analyze.
Interesting.
Never mind.
It's a comma, wasn't there?
Does that make it much more?
I might do. You never know.
If we analyze it now, we're going to have a much higher. Yeah, 90%. Yeah. Commas show you know, if you're using commas, then machine learning is telling us that's definitely
it's
higher.
Punctuation, you see.
Yeah, they're taking more. Yeah, taking more time on it.
Because it could be without the comma, it could be Martin loves Office. Oh yes, he does. Who is the comma? It's Martin loves Office. Oh yes, he does.
Okay.
See? You see? Yeah. It's magic.
Anyway,
the point of that is that now I've got some text in my Office document. I can click that, and it magically appears in my app.
Yeah.
So that's again is the Office JavaScript reaching into Office. Working out that I've selected some text and then pulling that into the Office document itself.
Right, okay.
And obviously you can imagine scenarios where you can actually add this back into the document and so on. In fact, there is a version of this app in the Office store called Sentimental, which does exactly that,
okay.
A more sort of advanced version. But that's it. So we've taken that one simple website, built in ASP.NET, could be any web language.
Yep.
We've used Manifold to create Android version, iOS version, Windows 8 version.
All the versions.
All the versions, yeah. We've then added some special code for Windows 10 that does tiles and pop-ups and all those kinds of things. And then we took the same website again and made an Office app based on it.
Cool. Well, join us next week. We're going to have another Webhack Wednesday. And we'll be talking about another web topic, whatever that might be then. See you on next Wednesday. Bye now.